Someone to Watch Over Me by Evan Moore. Chapter 4. Nick investigates the crime scene and makes a long-distance phone call. Someone, however, is watching him. Nick examined the crime scene with a close eye, taking in every detail. Maybe it was a grim thing, but the carnage didn't make him want to hurl as much as it would have done a couple years ago. That thought actually did disturb him a little. The victim's head eyelessly surveyed the area from the top of the stairs, while the other body parts were strewn almost carelessly around the steps. Right hand there, left hand, arms, legs, torso. He frowned in thought as he went down and crossed the narrow street for a view of the whole crime scene. The viciousness of the kill definitely screamed "Blut bad," as did the scraps of red fabric that still clung to the remains of the torso. There was certainly blood everywhere, and shredded internal organs, not so internal anymore. So what was nagging at him about this picture? A prickling sensation raised the hairs on his neck. Casually, Nick glanced around, trying to locate the source of the feeling. He'd learned to trust his instincts more than ever since his aunt died. He was being watched. He was sure of it. Behind him was a construction site, fenced off and inaccessible. To the left, a busy intersection and a post office, part of the World Trade Center complex, if he wasn't mistaken. Looking right, the long street was currently closed off by the cops to secure the crime scene. Numerous bystanders stared across the barricade, shocked and horrified by the sight, but too intrigued to look away. Reporters and other media people stood talking in front of the cameras. Cops, crime scene technicians, and other law enforcement personnel were swarming the area. In short, it was impossible to tell who was watching. Grimacing in frustration, he made sure no one was particularly close before he pulled out his cell phone and dialed a familiar number. The line picked up after only a few rings.
"Hey, Nick, how's the Big Apple? Listen, I know you're there for work and everything, but you gotta check out Sudden Clocks. It's so cool."
"Monroe." It was possible for the talkative Blutbad to go on all day. Admittedly, this was better than the alternative, which was spread out all across the church steps.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, wait," sighed Monroe in a long, suffering fashion. "Oh, no. Don't tell me. Please."
Nick winced slightly. He felt a bit guilty about involving Monroe in yet another police investigation, especially one not even in the same state.
"Please, just hear me out."
There was a long pause.
"Fine. What is it?"
"Well, it looks to me like a Blutbad attack. The victim was pretty much shredded. Plus, he was wearing red. There have been 3 previous attacks as well," the Grim explained concisely, trailing off a bit at the end.
"Nick, listen to me. You know how dangerous Blutbaden are, especially when hunting humans. As soon as you can, go and pick up some wolfsbane. It's also called monk's hood or aconite, by the way. Hold on a sec. I think Rosalie's got the contact info for a Vessin herb shop over there. Let me just check the book here."
Nick heard the rustling of pages over the line for several seconds, as Monroe presumably flipped through an address book.
"Yeah, I got it. I'll text you the address. Try not to freak out the proprietor too much,"
the Blutbad cautioned him emphatically. Nick snorted derisively. Vessin seemed to freak out when they realized he was a Grim, no matter what he did.
"It's not intentional. Anyway, you know how I might be able to track down the local Blutbaden? I'm not exactly keeping in touch with the relatives, if that's what you mean. Vader Blutbaden, like me, aren't really invited to all the family get-togethers. And because of, you know, our relationship, me helping you and all that, being friends with a Grim."
"Yeah, I got it. Thanks anyway."
"Oh, and I don't think I need to remind you to be careful, Nick. Try not to get killed over there,"
Monroe advised him in his typical combination of sincerity and sarcasm.
"Thanks," Nick replied dryly. "I'll try to remember that."
He ended the call and returned the phone to his pocket. He'd have to wait until later to track down the wolfsbane. He didn't exactly have a good excuse to ditch the detectives he was supposed to be here observing. On the positive, or at least slightly less negative side, the Blutbad would be sated for the next week, giving Nick time to track him down and do what needed to be done. As he pondered his next move, his phone buzzed, Monroe having texted him the address of the herb shop.
"Hey, you gonna do some actual observing over here, or are you just gonna chat with your girlfriend all day?"
asked Fuzzco acerbically, calling to him from across the narrow street. "This,
coming from a guy who had earlier fielded a call from his ex. If this was a sample of his normal behavior, it was a wonder he had ever made it to detective, let alone to the homicide task force, Nick thought. However, he had to put up with the guy for the next several days, when he wasn't going out hunting a bloot bat at any rate. So Nick slapped on a cheerful smile. "What can I say? She misses me already," he replied with a careless shrug of his shoulders as he crossed the street to the other detective. "So, Hotshot, what's this crime scene tell you?" Fusco asked somewhat scornfully. "Probably more than it's telling you," Nick thought sarcastically. "Well, the victim was obviously dismembered, but it doesn't look like it was done by a knife or a saw. It looks more like an animal did it," he said, with complete innocence before growing more thoughtful. "The head is a bit odd, though. It looks deliberately placed there, almost like it's mocking us." Fusco's eyes narrowed as he glanced back up the steps at the empty eye sockets staring out over the scene. "It's creepy, if you ask me," he replied. "What it is sick," Detective Carter said as she joined them. "Whoever's doing this needs to be stopped, and fast." A strange look passed between her and Fusco. Nick wasn't sure what to make of it. "Did you guys determine how the previous victims were dismembered?" Nick asked curiously, wondering how close they'd come to discovering the truth. Carter grimaced in disgust. "It looked like teeth, but we weren't able to recover any usable dental impressions, and DNA was a bust too. You'd think that all the saliva we recovered would give us something, but every last bit of it was weirdly corrupted. Didn't even read as human. But there was no way an animal could have killed these people without anyone noticing it." "This scene's different from the others, though," Fusco observed, much more to Carter than to Nick. "How so?" Carter asked as her brows came together. Fusco made a face, shifting his shoulders a bit uncomfortably. "All the other bodies, what was left of them, at any rate, they were found in isolated locations. Abandoned factory, alley," his partner nodded. "And suddenly this guy's on the steps of a church, in full view of a busy street," offered Nick, earning him a glare from Fusco. "Well, at least we'll probably have camera footage of him this time," Carter said grimly, her eyes shifting upwards to the traffic camera at the intersection. Nick stared up at the unblinking eye, all too aware that almost every step he took in the city was being watched. The only question was who was doing the watching. Chapter 5. Lionel Sees Both Too Much and Not Enough. Canvassing for witnesses was a bust. Not that Lionel was honestly expecting anything else. No one ever saw anything in New York, and those who did saw too much. The guy who discovered the mess, the church's pastor opening up for morning mass, knew nothing useful, despite his genuine desire to help. They probably wouldn't get anything useful from the tip line either, just the normal assortment of nuts and dead ends. No Vesson in their right mind wanted to go up against a feral blutbad. For the most part, Pretty Boy seemed content to sit back and watch Lionel and Carter, only occasionally interjecting or asking a question. He somehow managed to fade away into the background, a trait which annoyed Lionel even more once he realized it was happening. It reminded him all too much of Mr. Happy, whose habit of appearing and disappearing at will was almost ghost-like. And Lionel didn't believe in ghosts. If he did, he'd have a few clawing at his own doorstep at night. Instead, he had a guy in a suit, and his gimpy, glasses-wearing partner in crime prevention keeping him up. In any event, if Lionel and Carter had been hoping for a break in the case, it seemed to be frustratingly elusive. Avesson had done this, he was sure, but in his gut, he was more certain by the moment that it was a copycat killing made to look like a blutbat attack. That left the obvious questions of motive. Why would someone go through all the trouble? It wasn't actually easy tearing apart a person, after all. The canine scent he caught at the crime scene was important, but there were a number of different canid Vesson, Blutbaden among them. Of course, it would probably help if they knew the identity of the victim. They couldn't exactly pass around a photo of the guy's face with his eyes all gouged out. Fortunately, most of his fingerprints were still intact, so if the Vic had a record, they'd find it. Of course, fingerprint matches took hours, if not days, even when the servers weren't already on overload. It was getting late by the time they returned to the precinct to review the security camera footage from the church. The view from the post office was obscured by the corner of the church, unfortunately, so that was no good. Their best hope was from the footage from the NYPD traffic camera, which they were promised they'd get later that night, and the church's own security cameras. Fusco wasn't holding his breath, though.
He'd seen better cameras in mom-and-pop convenience stores.
"You've gotta be kidding me," Carter complained, her frustration palpable as she stared at her computer screen. The grainy footage showed the front door of the church, and nothing more than shadow play in 5-second intervals.
"Well, so much for that," groused Lionel in agreement. Part of him, mostly his stomach, was relieved that there wasn't more to be seen on the footage.
Pretty Boy frowned in thought, his brow creasing so that Lionel could almost hear the cogs turning in his mind. How'd the victim or the perpetrator get to the church? And furthermore, how'd the perpetrator get away after tearing the other guy apart? He'd have been covered in blood. He couldn't exactly have hailed a cab.
Lionel snorted derisively.
You'd be surprised. Some cabbies weren't at all particular about who they picked up, especially the ones who were driving illegal cabs or were just desperate for the cash.
Yeah, but it's worth a look at the camera footage from down the street, see if we can catch them coming and going.
Carter sighed, pinching the bridge of her nose.
Look, Detective Burkhart.
Nick, please, Pretty Boy said with a quick smile.
Nick, Carter smiled back briefly. We aren't going to get any more surveillance footage for a while, and the autopsy won't be done by tomorrow at the earliest. You can go get dinner. We'll call you if anything comes up.
Thanks, I'm starving, still running on Portland time.
He was either even hungrier than he let on, or just anxious to get out, because he took off in a greater hurry than he likely realized.
Carter chuckled lightly under her breath. Remember when we were like that?
I was never like that, Carter, Lionel grumbled, as he grabbed his jacket and followed in Pretty Boy's wake. It wasn't too hard to tail the cab the Portland detective climbed into. After all, neither Pretty Boy nor his cabbie had any idea someone was following them. The route took them not to any nearby eatery, but left Manhattan completely.
What are you up to?
Lionel muttered as the cab finally pulled over at a strangely familiar address.
Huh.
Lionel recognized the building Pretty Boy walked into. On the surface, it sold vitamins, herbs, teas, and all that natural supermarket junk that Lionel pretty much ignored, normally. But it also sold some rather unusual items, especially for Vesson. Back when he was in uniform at the 18th, Lionel had busted the place for selling Jay. Despite its highly addictive, opiate-like effect on Vesson, Jay wasn't illegal, which made keeping it off the streets difficult, if not impossible. So Lionel had done a little creative evidence discovery, and the Jay had magically become cocaine.
That, plus a little ear-twisting, and the Reinigan who ran the place cleaned up his act in a hurry. Lionel had made a point to stop by every so often to check up on him until his transfer to the Homicide Task Force. Maybe Pretty Boy was a health freak, but a million red flags shot up in Lionel's mind. Could he be a Vesson after all, despite his human scent? There were some hominid Vesson, like the Wieldermen, though he'd never once heard of a Wieldermen becoming a cop.
"Move and you die," said a thickly accented voice coming from outside the car window.
Lionel froze, feeling the instinctive vogue come over him.
"A Fuchsbau,"
the voice laughed coldly.
"I do not know why you follow this man, but if you value your life, stay out of the business of the Verrat."
"The Verrat?" Lionel scoffed in disbelief as his vogue faded, turning to face the man threatening him.
"What are Ethiopian dinosaurs doing in New York?"
The man scowled, and his face twisted, reshaping into a vicious-looking muzzle filled with sharp teeth.
"This is your one warning, Fuchsbau. Leave now."
The foreigner's vogue faded, but his expression still promised murder as he returned his own vehicle, a dark-colored SUV with at least one other occupant, probably more, if Lionel had any sort of sense. Swallowing nervously, Lionel grabbed for his phone and dialed quickly. The line picked up in moments.
"This had better be important, Lionel," came a soft, familiar voice.
"That depends. How important's a pack of Hundjäger to you?"
Chapter 6. Things really start happening, and it's not going well for Nick. Nick glanced around the shop in bemusement. He'd been expecting something a bit more archaic, old-fashioned, rustic. The Vesson world had always seemed so steeped in tradition, but the shop Monroe had directed him to appeared more like a modern-day drugstore or pharmacy, complete with whitewashed walls and harsh fluorescent lighting.
"Hey, can I help you?" inquired the fellow behind the counter. A shortish, dark-haired guy with a thick Brooklyn accent and a strangely smarmy attitude about him.
"Yeah, a friend recommended this place.
Said I could find what I was looking for, Nick replied.
Really? The guy grinned toothily, all but rubbing his hands together in glee. What is it I can get for a new customer?
Wolfsbane. The man's grin grew simperingly apologetic. I'm afraid we're all out of Wolfsbane, my friend. Perhaps I can interest you in some Valorin. It works great for insomnia.
Nick's eyes narrowed suspiciously.
You sure you don't have any Wolfsbane? You wouldn't happen to have a stash lying around so you can, I don't know, gouge Vessen terrified of the Bloodbat attacks?
The shopkeeper's eyes widened, and his smile vanished as his face morphed to form rat-like features. Nick smirked.
Yeah, I thought as much, he remarked.
You're a Grim, the Renegade said faintly, backing up until he collided with the shelf. Several bottles clattered noisily to the floor.
Tell me something I don't know, Nick muttered under his breath. Now, do you have any Wolfsbane or not?
Yes, yes, of course, just please don't hurt me, babbled the shopkeeper, stumbling towards a back room.
Nick felt slightly guilty about taking advantage of the guy's fear of Grimms, but his guilt was balanced by the fact that the guy was also a creep who was clearly taking advantage of the Bloodbad scare to make a killing. The pun was terrible, but apt.
Glancing out the front windows of the shop, Nick noticed a dark SUV with tinted windows, parked across the street, occupied by at least two men who seemed to be looking everywhere but at the store. The little hairs on the back of his neck stood up, and he felt a surge of genuine anger. It looked like the same SUV he'd noticed cut off a sedan trying to make a red light, all the way back near the precinct.
Here you are. This should be enough for whatever you have in mind, the Renegade said anxiously, handing over a small white paper bag. That'll be $54.95. Nick shot him another glare. The Renegade laughed nervously, his eyes darted here and there. Hey, you can't blame a guy for trying. I have to make a living, you know. For you, since you're Grim and recommended by a friend and all, it's around 30.
Nick sighed, but pulled the cash from his wallet and handed it over. Oh, by the way, if I find out you've cheated me, or that you're up to anything you shouldn't be, the NYPD will be all over this place. You never know what illegal substances a place like this might be hiding, after all.
No, no, no. I'd never cheat a Grim. And my shop is clean, I swear. I don't sell anything but the good stuff, and no Jay either. I swear on my grandmother's grave. I don't need any more trouble with the cops. The man pleaded, nearly gibbering.
Is there a back way out of here? Nick asked pleasantly, with one last glance toward the front window and his mysterious followers.
Yeah, yeah, just back there. The Renegade gestured vaguely towards the rear of the store. The Grim flashed a brilliant smile as he picked up his bag of Wolfsbane. Thanks.
As he stepped outside into the back alley, Nick had half a mind to pay a visit to the guys in the SUV, just to see who they were and why they were following him. The more prudent part of him urged him to remember that discretion was the better part of valor, and just give them the slip. His decision was made for him, however, when he heard a loud crack and felt a sharp pain. Darkness swirling before his eyes, he stumbled into a wall as he plucked at the dart that had pierced his skin. The last thing he knew before he collapsed to the pavement was the sound of nearby footsteps and a distant voice speaking in a foreign language, but he couldn't make out the words. Nick felt hands grabbing him. Dimly, he tried to struggle, to fight back, but the sedative in the dart relentlessly dragged him into unconsciousness. Nick slowly clawed his way back to wakefulness. His head throbbed like a blacksmith was pounding away at an anvil inside it, and it quickly became obvious that Nick was zip-tied to a chair. Opening his eyes, he saw that he was in the middle of a pitch-black room, lit only by a single brilliant light, which was shining painfully in his face. Water dripped nearby, lending to the decidedly creepy atmosphere.
"Il est réveillé," someone said. Nick grimaced, testing his bonds. They seemed secure and not likely to fail without significant struggle on his part.
"Ah, good. Our guest is awake."
A second voice, heavily accented, exclaimed with faux cheer. He sounded French, maybe Swiss. Nick wasn't exactly a language expert, though with everything that had happened to him lately, he was beginning to think that he'd better brush up. If he survived this, at any rate. "I hope you realize that you just kidnapped a police officer." Nick squinted against the bright light, grimacing against both it and the headache. That elicited a laugh from several different sources surrounding him.
"You are far from home, Detective Burkhart. You have no friends here who will come looking for you,
nor indeed have any idea how to find you. Do any of them even know what you are?" The English speaker laughed sharply. "Now, if you want to live, you will do as I say." Anger shot through Nick, clearing his head of the lingering effects of the sedative. "Oh, I can hardly wait to hear what you want," he bit out sarcastically. "Hey, out of curiosity, were you guys the ones who killed the guy at the church? Made it out to look like a blutbad attack? Maybe lure me away from the cops so you could take me out?" His captors exchanged a few words in French, followed by some mocking laughter. "My associates say that you are smarter than you look," their leader said in amusement. "But do not try to change the subject, Detective Burkhardt. You were given an item, a key, containing a map. Please, do not try to deny it. It will only waste both our time. We know you are the keeper of this. You will tell us where it is, and then we will let you go," his captor said in a tone that sounded almost reasonable. "No, you won't," Nick contradicted him, his lips stretching into a smile devoid of amusement. The key, it had been entrusted to him by his aunt before she died, along with a dire warning to tell no one of its existence. A key and a map, his mother had later told him, to a trove containing some powerful artifacts that would allow those who possessed it to rule the world. It stank of the rot. He didn't know a lot about the seven royal families, but what he did know wasn't very pleasant. "Even if I knew where this key thing was, you wouldn't let me go. As it is," he shrugged as well as his bonds would allow. "I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about." "I'm sure you are familiar with Surum Eximonogesis, which forces certain types of vessin to confess their sins. While we do not have such a potion for your kind, we can make do with less esoteric science. I'm afraid, mon ami, that this will likely be quite painful for you." At that moment, a phone rang in the darkness. And now, some bloopers.
Bloopers!
"Could, Cat, can you not? Can you not? Please? Please? You're noisy licking. So noisy. Yeah, yeah, I know your belly needs to be clean. I know. Oh, don't bite me. Bad kitty."
"No, Felix, no. No kitty.
No!
Sit. Sit down. Okay. Okay. There you go. Good girl. Good kitty. Can you be quiet now? Can kitty shut up? Can kitty shut up? You purr too noisy. Yeah, can kitty shut up? Good girl."
"What is it? Can I can..." Blah, 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 blah. "Tell me something I don't know, Nick Mert..." Blah, 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 blah. "Cat, you're making noise again." "Hi, girl. Yeah."
"Stop it."
The shopkeeper's eyes...
Nope.
And his smile vanished as his face morphed from a rat-like...
No. Oh, I hate everything. Page break. "Made it out to be a blutbad attack? That's not how that... Is it? It's... A blutbad attack?"
"Oh, noisy cat. Yeah? Noisy girl. Okay, bye. No? You staying?
I don't even know what to do with you."
"I'm sure you are familiar with..." Okay, that's not English. Mother God.